Hello, everyone, and good morning. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Adopted Standards Task Force. As a reminder, your feedback is always welcomed, which could be typed in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:50 Eastern Time this morning. And I'll note that when you're using the Zoom chat, if you change to everyone, then everyone can see your chat. If you do not change to everyone, then everyone will not see your chat. So just keep that in mind when you're chatting. So I'm going to begin roll call of our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chair, Steve Eichner.
Present. Good morning.
And Hans Bootendijk is off today, but he should be back next week. Jeff Danford. Raj Goodparty. Tim Jurgis. John Kilborn.
I'm here, thank you.
Hung Lu.
Good morning.
McDonald.
Good morning.
Devin McGraw.
Here.
Eliel Oliveira. Phil Pichev.
Yeah, good morning.
Samantha Pitts. Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Ram Sharam is off today, so he won't be with us. Raymond Wee.
Good morning.
And Debbie Willis.
Good morning.
Great. Well, thank you so much, everyone. Now, please join me in welcoming Steve for his opening remarks. Steve?
Good morning and welcome all. Welcome to August and welcome to the next meeting of the HITECH Task Force on Interoperability Standards. We're going to continue to go through some standards today and develop recommendations for future review and forwarding to the HITECH for their review and then submission to ONC. But before we get into that, I want to make just a couple of quick announcements. First is on Thursday, there's a electronic health information sharing workshop hosted by ONC running from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be a listening session and guided discussion on opportunities and challenges related to sharing electronic health information. And I think Mike is going to type the URL or provide the URL in our chat. There's free registration available. Also, the ONC did release USCDI version 3 last week. So that is officially released and in play. And I'm going to turn the floor back to Mike to remind us about making comments in chat and how to make sure that everybody's seeing them.
Right. So, of course, we'll have our formal public comment period towards the end of our meeting today, and everyone's welcome to chat and share your information, but please remember to change your chat to everyone if you want everyone to see your chat. Thanks.
And before we get into our current work, are there any questions or comments from task force members or observations? Okay, seeing no hands raised, we'll go ahead and move on into our standards review. And first up, we were going to have a quick conversation to close out the language on SHA-1, which is the hash that's currently referenced in standard. We have learned in the intervening week that SH1 is depreciated in the language of the regulation in actuality. So we should be able to expect that that's going to continue in future regulation. The surrounding regulation is open for public comment at this time. So I think I would like to suggest that the language we might put forth might be something along the lines of a recommendation to replace the standard with the new standard after public comment, again, ensuring that SHA-1 is depreciated and not used. Is there any comment, discussion, suggestions of another position?
That sounds reasonable to me, Steve.
Okay, so we will put text together for next week for review around that, and we'll ask as homework starting on, Thursday, we'll look to get some draft text into the worksheet for review. And again, looking back to syndromic surveillance, we were still not sure about where to go with syndromic because we were not sure if there was a good replacement standard in development. So we still don't have a lot of clarity in that respect. I'd like to open the floor for any comments or observations. Do we still need to leave it tabled? I will take silence as a yes. Or let me look at chat, see if we've got any comments. So we've got no comments on that, so we will leave it tabled for the time being. We're now going to move into group 7 and develop some, hopefully, recommendations, or at least discuss the existing standards. So the screen has been updated with the relevant standards. Standard 51 is the CDC race and ethnicity code set version 1, which is from March 2000. There's been a lot of work done, especially in the last couple of years, looking at race and ethnicity and modernizing the code set and trying to recognize significant components of race and ethnicity, trying to account for social determinants of health, looking at potential ways of expanding or accounting for between the 720-ish codes that are available in the CDC catalog that do map up to the OMB's standard catalog of about 10 components. So where do we want to go in this recommendation? There's nothing published in the SFAP in terms of a next iteration. And there's nothing immediately available from CDC as a named replacement, or at least that we could find at this time.
Hi.
So, yes, sir.
Hi, sorry, this is Ray from NAC. On USCDI V3 and generally on USCDI, they reference CDC race and ethnicity code set version 1.2, dated July 2021. But for the life of me, I could not find the difference between version 1 and 1.2. So just to get that out there, just if anyone has more information. Thanks.
Okay, I don't know the differences offhand, but we can ask CDC to come back and help explain, or we can reach out to CDC and get an explanation as to what the differences might be.
And I did see a reference to this on healthit.gov. I just pasted the link to that in the chat. Looks like 1.2 is a minor update to version 1, but I don't have a lot of detail beyond that.
So this, again, from a regulatory standpoint, falls in line a little bit with the question of advancing other standards consistent with the CDI in terms of looking at, USCDI, in terms of what comes first. and looking at consistency across standards. So one of the potential recommendations we could make would be for ONC to ensure alignment between the USCDI and other standards in use and regulation. And
Alexis, I had my hand raised, but I don't think
you saw. Sorry, did not see that.
No, I was just going to say, I think your idea of saying that it should at least, at the very least, align with the current USCDI version 3 makes sense. It would be nice to be able to, I hadn't seen the 1.2. And when I searched for it, I don't see it. And so I'm glad that there's a link here now and I'll look at it. But it would be nice to determine what the updates are, because the current version dating back to March 2000 has got to be outdated. Language has changed, appropriateness of how we code and how we talk about race and ethnicity is highly different than back in 2000. And so I would be welcome to seeing the difference, hearing any presentations from anyone in that area to help us make a decision. But I do think it's reasonable, your suggestion of it at the very least coinciding with the USCDI 3, because we've already had all those discussions and updated that.
I agree with that. This is Ray again from NAC. For community health centers across the United States, UDS, or the Uniform Data System, does this as a standard report to HRSA, and they do use the specific OID on FinVADs, and it seems to be both 1.0 and 1.2 is pointing on at the same OID. But yes, we are trying to make sure that, for example, UDS and UDS Plus is aligned with USCDI V2 and V3. So I agree with Alexis and Phil and all of the other comments. So thanks.
Yeah, it does feel that that's a good way of linking it together from a multi-consumption or multiple entities consuming the data, whether you're looking at it from a public health perspective, looking at it from a reporting perspective, looking at it from information exchange perspective. And it does lay a framework for subsequent adoption. To a certain extent, again, not suggesting that it has to be 1.2, but if we were not in alignment with USCDI and other regulatory standards for exchange, it could get very complicated for the vendors and for providers with two potentially competing code sets in the same application for potentially similar purposes. That could get very confusing and confounding.
We already have an issue with US Core, which has its own value sets. I think they reference something from the CDC, but at least what is published seems to be a very limited subset of ethnicity, at least. And so if we reference USCDI 3 and this value set there, as far as I know, there is no US Core implementation guide that will satisfy this. And therefore, we have a big gap that we have somehow has to be fixed.
Yeah, I was having a discussion with somebody in the last couple of days where we were talking about exchanging race and ethnicity information and looking at the detail resolution and trying to resolve, okay, how do you resolve exchange or address exchange when you've got two different resolutions of data that you need or that you're using for potentially different purposes, and looking at exchanging information in terms of how does the consuming system or the sending system understand what the consumption looks like so that it's a viable exchange. If you're using a system that supports all 720 subdomains, but the receiving system only can consume 12, who's responsible for mapping? Again, that's not a standard specific question, but that's a good illustration of where it becomes challenging if there are multiple standards in play. And of course, once you simplify or resolve it to the fewer categories, you can't really go back. So is there something that we can't, obviously, and it's out of scope for us to change the regulatory text, but is there some information that we might share in a recommendation language that might advise ONC of the issue? Possible, would that be a good idea? Or Ray?
I agree with that. I'm just checking, making sure that it's aligned with the UDS 2021 manual for reporting. So that's mostly community health center needs, though.
I mean, in general, as you pointed out, the problem of sort of people using different standards because there's sort of multiple ones out there is not unique to this, as you pointed out. So, I think it both underscores the importance of the work that we do as a recommending body for when standards really do need to be retired, to say that when we know that definitively. Otherwise, I'm not sure. I mean, we can always add that as a kind of an overarching comment to the work. Is there something unique about this particular that item that we're talking about now that makes it even more acute, this problem of, you know, sort of multiple standards being out there?
Well, I think one of the things that might make it a bit more acute is looking at potentially the distribution or utility of codes, and that there's some regional distribution where you look, again, not better or worse, just look at the impact of the different code sets and the benefits of the different resolution in different domains, where if you're looking at a community or an environment where there's lots of distribution and you're really looking at detailed resolution, you could use quite a number of codes to be very specific. Where if you look at some other geographic regions of the country, there really isn't or may not be as much of a deep dive. So there's just not detailed resolution. You may have a much shallower differentiation of language and ethnicity in some regions than others. Again, not better or worse, just as a matter of function. And if you've got a very diverse community, you may have greater benefit of having a greater diversity of codes, where if you have a less diverse community, you're simply, regardless of the codes being there, you're simply not using them because you don't have a population that would be coded that way.
Right. I'm just, so I guess, how does that bear on our task, which is to recommend when standards need to be retired or maintained?
Right. Well, I think, again, coming back to here, it pushes potentially a need in the recommendation language to ensure that there is consistency, not only in a single standard, but if there are multiple potentially competing standards, that you address that framework, or that ONC address that framework and be very cognizant if you're using two different standards to describe the same object that don't map to each other, why are you doing that? And if you are using standards that map at a hierarchical level, understand which hierarchy should be used and when.
Okay, you have lots of hands up, so I'll drop it. Thanks.
Alexis?
Yeah, I was just trying to wrap my head around this. I mean, I really think that, you know, it becomes a problem when there's not a standard code set more than just, I mean, one, you're talking, Steve, about like how it could be a variance in code sets by geographic location, right? And that maybe in one community, you need more, in another community, people don't represent that race or ethnicity, so it's not there. But I mean, we never know who's in that community, right? We don't really know. You might know the majority of who's in there. And that can change over time. That can change daily. So, I mean, I don't know that we can make a recommendation to standardize it, but I do think it concerns me if folks are using different value sets to identify race and ethnicity, specifically because there's so many subsets that aren't currently listed, and we don't want to miss somebody that by their race or ethnicity that they identify with, and their biology that may go along with that, misses something for some kind of screening process or increased risk for something. And so I do think that this is really important. And I would like to really have somebody highlight the differences and see if the 1.2 is even stringent enough at this point. But it's got to be, since March 2000, we can't really be up to speed with capturing everything. So, I mean, I would vote that it needs to be updated.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if you look at the CDC OID specifically titled ethnicity, it's actually exactly the same as race. And we know that in reporting, and as we define ethnicity, it's usually Hispanic or non-Latino. And it's we're trying to align with also the OMB reporting, which again is Hispanic or not Hispanic origin. And again, like you said earlier, Steve, that based on the state and state regulations, for example, in Oregon, they have a different way of defining, or a more an expanded way of defining race and its associated codes. So that's one of my bigger issues, is that, for example, on FinVAD, the ethnicity and race value sets are exactly the same, which I think is incorrect.
Hong?
I would agree with your comment saying that, you know, we should insert some high-level language to say that if there are existing standards out there, then, you know, harmonization as much as possible. But I really would not want to see this committee be paralyzed by scope creep. I think that we have a clear charge in that we evaluate the standard. Is it the most current? Is it in use? Is it obsolete or not? And we recommend either it remains in circulation or it be retired. But I think that beyond that, if we get too much deeper dive into how it should be used or how it should be harmonized or anything like that, I think that is beyond the charge of this task force, and really needs to be narrow in focus.
Thank you for that.
Yes, I agree with Dr. Hung. I'd also like to comment on is that I don't think there's many that believe that race has strong biologic meaning. It's a social political definition. And the biologic connections are pretty weak. And there are some, of course, but they're pretty weak.
So does anyone have Carmelo on the line?
No, she is not.
Okay.
We can invite her for next week, but she was not able to join today.
That would be great. Yeah, I don't think it's within the task force's expertise to say which particular standard or which approach. But I do think that it would be reasonable to say that there does need to be either a single standard or good attention to a harmonious adoption of standards and make sure and help communicate that there are different consumers of data at different levels and is a complicated issue. And push it, you know, suggest again to ONC work with stakeholders to map out a path for using either a single standard or consolidated related list. But again, understand what the user community of those standards is. Is that a reasonable approach?
Yeah, Ike, I'm still confused. Are we asking, are we voting to retire the standard and ask them to upgrade, or are we not? I think that's the question in front of us.
Yes. I think there's consensus that 2000 is a very old standard, and there has got, and 1.2 is identified as something that is more modern. So the 1.0 is in need of replacement. And to replace it with a harmonized standard for other uses, so there are not multiple races and ethnicity standards being applied in different domains, is important. Right?
Could someone articulate what the different standards are perceived to be? You know, the ethnicity is a tree, and you can climb down the tree and be more specific. But I didn't realize there was multiple code systems for ethnicity proposed by CDC.
It's not so much as different complete code sets. It's looking at the level of detail in that hierarchy that you're presenting.
But that's the free choice of the user. So I don't know what we can control that. I mean, that's defined. Here they are. If you want to use them, you can. If you don't, that's okay. I don't think we can discipline that.
Okay, yeah, because the challenge there looking at the specificity is when you're looking at exchange and what the data consumer is expecting or needs to achieve its business objectives.
Well, it's the producer who determines what's there, not the consumer. So I don't know how we can control that. You know, the fact is that the five common ones are what's used almost universally. And if you go down to the almost 400 or 500, you know, it's a pretty difficult lift for people clerks checking in to make those distinctions. So I think this is a moot discussion. This is a wasted discussion. I think we got to stay with it and leave it be.
Well, part of the challenges are states like Oregon or in Washington are requiring reporting at a very detailed level.
Well, that's okay. I mean, but we can't demand it across the world. And I mean, this is America. People kind of do what they want. Individual states can choose. So I don't know what we're going to try to accomplish here with this.
Well, Clem, what would be the issue of just harmonizing with USCDI and updating to 1.2?
Oh, I don't know if there's an issue there about how getting it updating. I just a matter of whether we use the detailed lower part of the tree or the upper part. Right. I don't think that's in our control.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. But in terms of retiring the standards on this piece of paper on the screen in front of us and saying updating to 1.2 to harmonize it with USCDI feels like a question that's pertinent to us.
Thank you for keeping us on target.
Alexis, you've been waiting patiently.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want us to keep, you know, the whole meeting to this topic. I just wanted to what Clem was saying, you know, to talk about it coming from the producer and that a consumer doesn't really have any, you know, control over this. I think this is part of why we have these advisory groups, right? So I think we're here to represent what the consumers want. At least I am. And I think that a big piece that we might be overlooking with standardized sets is that people also need a way that clearly identifies and relates to who they are. And I think in today's day and age, the way that our groups are listed in the March 2000 version does not have enough race and ethnicity information for those who identify differently than that list. And I think when we begin talking about producer versus consumer, the consumer needs to be comfortable with having the information in front of them that speaks to them and not just always have to pick other, right? And always having to pick other doesn't give a representation of who you are to the folks that are pulling the information. So I just wanted to say that, but it does go back to what Devin is saying. I mean, I just wanted to get that out in reference to what Clem had said, but we need to decide already, are we, what we're doing with this and just move forward. And it doesn't make sense, again, for the third time, I'll just say, to keep the March 2000 version.
One point of clarification for me, I'm reading USCDI version 3 and it appears to reference 1.0 for the code set. Just wanted to confirm that. And if we push this to 1.2, are there additional repercussions?
Well, that makes a big difference with us saying that we want it to align with USCDI version 3 then. Right, if that is pinpointing using 1.0?
I just checked the V3 race and it points to 1.2. Let me find the one that Phil found.
Okay. Yeah, I'm seeing it. the link I was looking at is here. That's the January version, though, so I don't know. Maybe that changed between the draft and January.
Yeah, I would look at the full release.
V3, okay.
Yeah, looking at the final, it's referencing 1.2.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Nice. Nice find, Phil.
Thank you for that, both of you. So I think the...
Why is that under race?
Sorry, Vassal?
The list is...
So I think the consensus position is looking at a recommendation that the standard be aligned with USCDI and that it be retired and shifted to 1.2, consistent with the current USCDI, and going forward, they move together. Is that a good position?
That's a good position, but we need to point out that leaves US Core out of the picture. Leaves okay. US Core as not non-supportive of that. Unless sure. There's some mechanical error in the build of US Core, they have like about 20 codes for ethnicity, which are mostly related to Latin America, and no other ethnicity codes except other. So it is a discrepancy that we should point out in our comment, because if the path forward is to use FHIR, we are referencing a value set that has no representation in FHIR. That's all.
Okay, so we'll add on a phrase or a sentence that says there should also be alignment with US Core, which is a sensible position.
Because US Core needs to be aligned with this, because US yeah, Core right. is problematic.
Yeah. That was my intention, if I didn't say it that way, but that was certainly where I was trying to go. Okay. Shall we move on to line 52, value sets for administrative gender? Do we have a default position on the standard? Are we recommending that it continue?
I don't think there is a replacement. There's some SNOMED codes in USCDI reference, but
okay. Do we adopt or suggest text about maintain the standard, but also work with stakeholders, again, kind of adopting the same framework of language for race and ethnicity, that it should be tied, that there should be linkage between the standard USCDI and US Core?
I think that would be reasonable.
I agree.
And that way it's tied to whatever discussions are going forward and adopting whatever standards included in USCDI or any changes in that space. So that helps.
I'm reading a comment here on gender identity on USCDI, and here's CDC is saying they'd like to see an expansion on this code set and alignment as well.
Hi, this is Ray. We do a lot of work on SOGI, or sexual orientation and gender identity. But I think the standard reference here is specifically, although it's labeled as administrative gender, we are looking at sex assigned at birth and not specifically gender identity.
I don't think it's sex assigned at birth. I think it's legal sex.
Legal sex. Thanks, Basil.
This specific value set is probably good enough for legal sex.
Gotcha. Thanks.
So I think that, are we good with?
That might be useful to mention in the maintain as a appropriate value set for legal sex at this point, and 3 years from now it probably won't be. But
yeah, and again, should still tie back to USCDI and Core. Phil, you look like you were about to say something.
I was looking here at the comments, and I saw this reference from the HL7 Gender Harmony Project, and I don't know if this ties into the legal definition here, if this is relevant to that, but did want to point that out. That there's this HL7 Gender Harmony Project out there. Looks like they're making a recommendation to say, first to reference SNOMED, where there's an identifies as male, identifies as female, or identifies as non-binary.
Yeah. Zuri, commenting on that, USCDI V1 and V2 does reference line 52, HL7 V3 standard for administrative gender. But on V3, they reference SNOMED instead of the referenced, what we're talking about here, like ID 52. So I vote to maintain for now. But yes, SOGI is important, but I don't think this specific standard that talks about sexual orientation and gender identity.
Yeah, at least in terms of the standard, it's the administrative standard. I guess one of the things we might look at is how that regulation, or what is the context of the regulation in terms of what is it defining?
Yes, and on USCDI, they also changed. It's not administrative gender. They call it birth sex, which got changed to sex assigned at birth. And on V3, it's just sex.
So can we put as a note, as an action item, to confirm what the regulatory application of line 52 is? With the idea of confirming that the regulatory language is about an administrative use or related to administrative collection and use of data, not for clinical purposes or for other purposes, just to help differentiate and make sure that it's collecting what we think it's addressing, the issue that we think it's addressing, rather than something else.
Checking it right now. Yeah, it seems like more of an administrative set and not so much clinical or SDOH related. So,
okay, so we're good there. So we can take that action item off, and I think we're good. Are there any other comments or questions on 52? You know, I'll draft some suggested text and put it in the draft text column by Friday morning.
No comment. Thanks, Steve.
Looking at line 53, OMB standards for maintaining, collecting, and presenting federal data on race and ethnicity, statistical directive number 15 as revised October 1997.
This is working for community health centers, so I vote working. They haven't really changed this since 97, so.
Again, is this a straight maintain or maintain and update to be consistent with with any other change OMB makes, or collaborate? If OMB has made a change in the root policy, collaborate with appropriate stakeholders?
Agree with that.
So we'll tag it. We'll tag it. That is kind of a trigger event, right?
I vote, I agree with that.
Okay, cool.
I don't know about others.
I have a question. This is John Kilborn. This is what comes up over and over again here is how a standard that's older, you know, a few years old, would be approved by us. Whether it be approved by us as is, or will it be maintained, or will it be updated? What I'm trying to get to is this, to ask, where does the SVAP process just take care of this? Or when do we say the SVAP process, which is kind of a black box to me, will take care of this? And when do we have to sort of say, well, there's like a trigger event that might happen, and then we'll check back in if that happens? Or I'm not really clear on when we can sort of trust that updates will happen and will be taken care of. So say RX Norm gets a new release, that's like a no-brainer. We'll just, the SVAP process will take care of that fact that the RX Norm standard has changed and now there's a new version. But for something like this, it seems a little bit more complicated. Maybe, I hope this is the right question or the right time to ask this question, but I'm not clear when we have to specify when we have to say something about the standard has changed, and we this committee has to do something about that, versus the standard updates itself and that new update is taken in by USCDI or by us. Hope my question makes some sense, and if it doesn't, I apologize.
So we, as our committee is was created because of a provision in the 21st Century Cures Act that requires ONC to establish a process that occurs every 3 years for evaluating standards to see if they should be retired or moved on. And it sort of is nested in with sort of these other processes that ONC has already sort of established on its own for creating updates to standards and then periodically recognizing a new set as required in the regulation. So our task is not to kind of oversee the entire standards universe in terms of, you know, when things need to be turned on or off necessarily. We have a role to look at this particular snapshot in time to see if anything that is currently required needs to be retired or should be maintained. But it fits within a broader scheme where there's lots of other avenues for paying attention to where standards are in the process, if that makes any sense. So, I mean, folks from ONC can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we get to look at where we are today. We have this once every 3 year opportunity but we don't have this sort of oversight, kind of consistent oversight role.
And thank you so much for that wonderful summary, Devin. The other piece of the puzzle, or another piece of the puzzle, is SFAP does not include every standard that ONC may be using. For example, the standard presented in front of us at the moment, I don't think, is in SFAP's domain or catalog, nor does SFAP look at USCDI in the same way.
Right. Devin, the fact that there might be gaps doesn't mean that our role expands.
Devin, thank you for keeping us focused.
Basil? Oh, sorry, Clem, do you
I just wanted to make sure that we're on the same page. My understanding is, and maybe I'm wrong, and that will be a good clarification. My understanding is that SBAP opens the door, but doesn't set the floor. In other words, if there is a new version of an SFAP standard, the use of that standard is approved for whatever regulated data exchange is happening, but that does not change what the regulation says. So if some standard is it's version one, SVAP adds version two, people can use either version to satisfy the requirement. What our role is to say whether that version one will continue to be used or we should start asking everybody to be using version two. I think that's the difference. And if that's not it, I appreciate to be corrected.
You're right on that the SVAP is voluntary, except it's for voluntary utilization, not looking at regulatory language, which is often more focused on required usage of a particular standard. So that SVAP can be a launching pad or a test platform or a way of evolving to what's in use and to what's required. The committee is certainly looking to SVAP and leveraging SVAP as emerging standards or standards in, if you will, trial use or limited production use as a next step. But it's really looking at whether what standard is actually in regulation is the scope of the committee. Ray?
I agree with that. This is really great feedback. I just have four line ID 53, the OMB 97. There is a directive right now to create a technical working group to update this, but it's projected to be summer 2024. And this is from the OMB leadership.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. And I think the drive of suggested language around that is, you know, for the FQs and other entities that are using the standard to be consistent with whatever the OMB has in place at the time, but it's really an OMB developed standard or tool, and between OMB and its stakeholders in the sense to develop, adopt, and modify. Is that a good summary?
And do we want to include for future committees the language that we are aware that there is work being done on the new standard with the target date of 24?
Yeah. Okay. And that would line up potentially with about 3 years from now in terms of new policy being finalized and potentially eligible for adoption, assuming it was finalized in production, as it were. Okay, so we will draft some suggested text and put that in the worksheet by Friday morning. So we need to move on to the next. Whoever's sharing screen, can we move to the next page?
I think the next page. Okay, there you go.
Agenda. Yeah. Yeah, Steve, I think that's the end of group 7.
Okay, wonderful. So I think we may end our conversation a little bit early. Do we have any last comments on what we've reviewed today, and then we'll go to public comment?
Steve, you might want to ask for volunteers to help write the final disposition on some of these. I think that you've been taking the lead on that, but some others might be willing to,
Would anybody like to participate in a small working group or draft language?
For those discussed today, I would be happy.
Yes, sir. Wonderful. Would you prefer to do a working group, or would you prefer to draft some language?
I'll try to draft some language. Those are specifically for race and ethnicity and gender. And administrative gender. So those really impact FQHC. So I'd be happy to help in that.
Wonderful. Andrew, do we have a volunteer for the, or Ray, are you including the report from OMB in that collection?
Yes. Okay. I will reference some information to explain that. Thanks.
Wonderful. Can we go back to the slide to see what we've got left?
I think it's mostly upcoming meetings, Steve.
Okay, no, I was looking, going back to the worksheet slide.
Which slide did you want?
And Vasil, do you want to take a look at the entry for the encryption?
I'm looking.
If not, don't worry about it.
I have my copy open, so I'll look at.
Hi, while we're waiting there, was there an action item on the line 22 line item? Was there a follow-up you needed us to do individually on that, or was that something that the team was going to come back to the work group with?
For language for
I believe it was the next slide on line 22. for the public health. Yeah, the syndromic surveillance.
I think we tabled that for the week.
Okay. So just additional research by the individual members.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So I assume I'm about the secure hash standard. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And what did you want me to look at?
Are you interested in writing a recommendation about a path forward?
Sure. For next week or right now?
No, next week.
Yeah. Okay.
It only needs to be like a couple sentences.
Yeah. Okay.
And do we have any other volunteers? Okay. Mike, do we want to go to public comment?
Sure. Happy to do so. And then, I just want to recap. My understanding is that Raymond's going to work on the final disposition for Group 7. Vasil is going to work on the final disposition for Secure Hash. And line 22 is tabled for this week. And I think to Phil's point, is there any research or anything that you wanted to ask the task force to do while, because that sounds like we're going to be revisiting line 22. Is that right?
If the task force would like to look at surrounding data for syndromic surveillance, we'll see if we can come up with a link or two for further exploration for homework. And see if we can get a subject matter expert to talk or speak to the issues. We had hoped to have an SME join us this week, but they were not available.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for confirming. So we are going to open up our call for public comments. And if you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. And if you happen to be on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's pause for a moment to see if anyone raises their hand. Not seeing any hands raised, Steve, so I'll turn it back to you to wrap us up with next steps.
Okay. Well, thank you all for a really productive meeting and really, really good conversation about standards. I think we're making good progress and we'll be in a good position when we need to report our status to full high tech in a couple of weeks. Thank you so much for folks who are working on developing some text. Look forward to hitting some of our remaining standards next week and welcoming back Hans. Do we want to go back to the worksheet a little bit and talk just for a second about what we've got left and what's coming up? I think it's Group 6, if I remember correctly.
And Liz, do you have your worksheet up that you can share your screen possibly?
Just to give everybody kind of a sense of what's up and coming. And again, kind of looking from a homework perspective, if folks want to take a look into some of the standards that we're talking about, that would be great. And again, please feel free to use the worksheet to make comments and make suggestions. We do use that to help drive conversation and the development of potential recommendations. So we'll be focusing on HL7 and FHIR largely in the next week or two. So if there are any last minute questions, we would love to hear them. If not, we would be happy to give back about a half hour of time. Thank you all so much for joining us, and really do appreciate all the work that's going forward. I think we've got some good materials together, and it's really been an honor to support the work group in its activities. That being said, I'll turn it over to Mike for any last words, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, just echoing Steve, really appreciate everyone's support. This is, of course, a new process for us at ONC and for all of you, so we really appreciate you hanging in there while we work out the kinks. So thanks so much for your time and dedication. Really appreciate it. And we'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you.